Gracious God, I give thanks to be here to share these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Before I get into the text and my sermon on unclean hearts today, how many here are baseball fans? Of course, right now I think everybody's a baseball fan. I don't know if you watched the game last night with the Tigers, but there's a new player that just came up from the minors. It was his first time up to bat. His last name is Garcia. They don't use first names a lot when they're announcing. But Mr. Garcia came up to bat for his first time, and I'm thinking what a lot of people I think were thinking, please, don't strike out. Get on base. And he walked, and he got on base, and when he got on base, he did the sign of the cross, touched his mouth, and said, thank you, God. The second time he came up, he struck out, just walked back. The third time, he not only got a hit, it was his first RBI, and he did the same thing with the sign of the cross, touched his lips, and thanked God. There is a man with a clean heart. I love being back in Mark's gospel. If you remember, we had all these Gospels earlier about faith, about Jesus feeding the 5,000, walking on water, the ill being cured through their faith, people rushing ahead to where they thought Jesus might be so they could hear his words or get healed, or for them to carry people that needed to be healed. Then we jumped into John. For about 4 weeks, we heard about I am the bread of life. And the bread of life is important, and John is a good thing. But I just love being back to Mark and his Gospels. Jesus mentions heart three times in Mark. Each time, it is in reference to the importance of the human heart for religious faith and practice. In other chapters, Mark talks about hardness of heart. Our heart is in the middle of our body. And just think about that for a minute. The center of the body, where we should find our most important relationship with God and our faith. God is the center of all, the creator, the redeemer, and the sustainer. When Jesus speaks of the heart, he is not speaking of the organ that pumps away, the one that pumps the blood, nor is he speaking of the emotional aspect of the heart. Jesus understands the heart as the center, the core, the inner self. Picture, if you can, a piece of paper with a dot in the middle of it. That is God. And then think of a lot of other dots all around forming a large circle outside. That is us. That is our community. That is the church. And if we bring all those dots closer and closer together, we not only come closer together as a community, as a family, as a church, we come closer to God. From your heart come decisions, as well as the important function of the heart for life. Perhaps this is why Jesus uses the symbol of the heart for a symbol of faith. Let's look at that and really think more about this gospel. I wonder what it was like when this occurred. Jesus is sitting with his disciples, having something to eat, most likely outside where others were walking by. They're probably tired after a long day of work. There are probably animals standing around. And some others were probably coming, trying to be closer to Jesus, to see this person they had heard of as a teacher, to hear his words. And then these Pharisees and the scribes, they come all the way from Jerusalem, clothed in their own righteousness, and make an issue about those with Jesus not following the laws and the rules of the elders as passed down before. I have to believe that Jesus had to get upset just at the fact that these disciples had given up so much to follow him, to spread the word, to take his teachings and hear all that they had heard and share it. They're willing to give up their families, to give up their livelihood. Don't these Pharisees have better things to do? Jesus, when confronted by the Pharisees, turned their question around and asked them, why do you not live according to the traditions of God and clean your hearts? And think a little bit more about where it transpired. Did Jesus denounce them for their important role in first century Judaism? No. But he did see that they were more concerned with the disciples who were not demonstrating reverence to what their beliefs were. He asserts that their hearts are far from God. Yet he does not condemn Judaism and its leaders. He calls them hypocrites. Jesus' criticisms in this gospel and many are harsh. They are intended to make us aware, that there's a problem, that we are rejecting God's laws for the sake of human tradition. We are filling our hearts, our center, with poison from within and not following God's law. We need to let God into our hearts. Jesus was telling them no amount of ceremonial hand washing could undo the spiritual uncleanliness that had infected their hearts. Jesus came into our world and he took away all the sin and all the uncleanliness. He washed it away with his blood on the cross. Let me share with you a story that I think ties well into the meaning of this gospel. A while back, there were a number of people that had left Christ Church Grosse Pointe and went and joined St. John's Detroit, a more conservative parish. I had only left Christ Church Grosse Pointe a couple of years earlier before the people had left, but I still had some connections and ran into folks. And one day I saw someone and I asked, how are things going? I asked about a specific person. And they said, when I mentioned that person's name, they defected. They went to St. John's. And I suggested, they had not defected. They went to where they could be nourished. Well, following that time, this past summer, a year ago, I was in a class offered by Whitaker Institute, and someone was showing some slides and doing different things, and there was a picture of St. John's Detroit in the presentation. I knew I was among many who had issues with that conservative nature of St. John's. We were talking more about it, and I mentioned the defection story. And to my surprise, the priest leading the class lashed out at me, and he said, no, they are not going to be fed. They're theology shopping. I must say without hesitation that I feel this person was the Pharisee that met up with Jesus when he was trying to have time with his own followers, because this person followed his inner attitude and let it override his heart. He allowed his human beliefs to overrule the wishes of our Creator, a Creator who wants a relationship with each and every one of us wherever we might be. A question we need to ask ourselves, what are the religious practices we pursue and why, as well as what are the religious practices we do not pursue? How do we allow our hearts to be true to God and not concerned about others and their practices? We don't use such terms as defiled and licentiousness and folly and lewdness. However, we do need to be concerned with our practices of faith and our spiritual lives and our faithful lives. We need to use such terms as service, compassion, gifts, charitable giving, private prayer, public worship, and service. This helps to give us all a clean heart. Reverend Sally Bolter spoke last week about forgiveness and such an awesome example she had of the Amish community that could forgive the person that had murdered their children. Isn't that a meaningful practice of faith? She spoke about Karen, who was brave enough and honest enough with herself to say she was not ready to be baptized because she was not ready to die for Jesus. What is your need for spiritual feeding in your life open and an open heart in relationship with our God? We must be careful not to succumb to the sense of superiority because of our faith and practices. We must succumb to allowing God to be in our hearts and in our minds in all that we do. In our service each Sunday, there are certain words we speak, words we hear, and some touch us more than others. We need to really think and open our minds and our hearts and believe what we are doing. I want to share with you some of the words that I'm most grounded with during our liturgy of the word. For the prayers of the people, the reader starts with, Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son. Let me repeat, Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son. Those are powerful words, and I believe them in their entirety. God hears us when we pray in the name of his Son. We start with a welcoming prayer. It says, Holy Spirit, living within us, guide our hearts and minds as we welcome all those who worship with us at St. Michael's. We're not just reading words on a page. If you really don't want the Holy Spirit to guide your heart into your mind, and you don't feel comfortable with people around you, please, don't say the prayer. Counsel yourself as to why you feel this, and be true to yourself. An important role of the deacon is bidding us into our confession of sins. I will say the bidding, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor, and then I will take a pause. And during that pause is a chance for myself and others to think about what are we confessing, what sins or deeds are on our minds that we need to confess. To allow God into our hearts, that central body of life, both physically and spiritually. We need to let God into our hearts, the center of our being, so that we can purge from our hearts these poisons that create a different heart and allow God to create a new heart. This needs to happen not only one time, but continuously, over and over again. It's not about how we live our physical lives, rather our spiritual lives. Jesus much more wanted to be with the followers of belief and understanding than those who were judgmental. He was very comfortable with the outcasts, the sinners, the disenfranchised, and all who wanted to turn their hearts over to God. In closing, may I offer the following prayer that was shared with me by a parishioner. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.